Hello, and welcome to another episode of Envisioneering Exchange, the podcast where industry leaders discuss the most important topics in sustainability, climate change, buildings, and urban efficiency. I'm Vic Marinich from Danfoss, and I'm delighted to be the host of this podcast. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Captivate, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we have Michael Kellerman, Director of Business Development for Electronic Controls and Solutions at Danfoss here to talk to us how connectivity and AI are changing the future of buildings and HVACR. Michael, thanks for taking the time to join the show.
Thanks, Vic. Thanks for having me, and I'm excited about this topic.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and the evolution of connected systems that you've seen throughout the HVAC industry?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm with our electronics controls and digital solution business with Danfoss. We manufacture electronic controls that are used a lot in controlling air conditioning HVAC systems, as well as refrigeration systems and other uses. And then also a suite of digital services around those controllers and in the cloud to help those type of customers. I've been in the HVAC/R industry for quite a bit of my career, primarily with OEM manufacturers. And before that was various industrial companies offering engineering solutions and connectivity solutions. And I guess ironically, as I was thinking about this, early in my career, I was in the nuclear power industry. And because of the safety protocols there, we were adamant about logging all of the machinery operating parameters. Logging it, trending it, making sure nothing is operating out of spec, audits. And ironically, all this was done before there was any type of data automation, automated gathering connectivity. So just with my own short career to reflect on where I was to where we are today is very interesting. And I have a zeal for efficiency, operational excellence. So really passionate about how connectivity can help with that.
So from pen and paper to the cloud, right? That's a pretty big jump there. So maybe if we start, because you bring up a good point, right? We've been tracking data forever, right? In some industries like nuclear, I guess it's a little bit more important than HVACR. But can you maybe explain a bit these days, how do we see connectivity and maybe AI systems working within buildings, commercial buildings, food retail, and so on? And how is that role changing or reshaping, especially in light of reaching ESG goals, which we're hearing more and more about?
Yeah. And back on that kind of the evolution question you asked, I guess I would say there's a few different trends that are really happening right now that is really driving a lot of this. One of those is, as we all know, electronics can tend to get rapidly advancing. The cost of that is going down. And so that is really helping a lot of ROI or return on investment cases. And then I think everyone is really understanding better the value of connectivity. And I think you go back to just your consumer life, right? Being able to change the temperature on my home air conditioning or do that in the middle of the night from my bed. Everybody really understands that, yes, I know there's value there, right? So there is recognition amongst customer sets. And then really, as we all hear the buzzword out there, AI and everything, which is a big topic to discuss, but it really enables the opportunity for healthier insight, predictive actions, AI. So that is a trend that is developing. And then really the biggest challenge trend out there is, how do you get there? Right. I think everybody understands the value. They'd like this, like to have it. It's just, how do I actually get there? But I think to your question on how do these systems work, what I like to do is maybe classify it into three levels of engagement. And level one is, again, that basic things that we know have been out there, temperature control, on off, right? If I can do that remotely, that's very valuable, right? It's nice, but that's very basic, right? If we look at level two, then we start to talk about maybe more critical information that we can see remotely, things like an alarm or a critical set point or a critical level, right? This little more critical information. And I'd say that's where a lot of our systems are today, level one, level two. If we go another level down, we talk about more advanced communication and control. And so this is the opportunity where we can really get more information about what's going on in these systems, right? Primarily an HVAC system, a refrigeration system, maybe a heating system, boiler. getting that system information out, and then that allows us really to do something, to gain more insight, to leverage some of the advanced tools out there, and really where I see AI playing a very critical role. And with that third level, probably two areas of opportunity. One of those is really optimizing these systems, right, which funnels into energy savings, et cetera, which is very critical to customer set. But I think another one I want to highlight is the concept of integration and moving beyond just one system, just my HVAC system or my refrigeration system. But how do these different systems work together, right, to create a whole nother level of opportunity and efficiency? If I can, I can give you an exciting example that's going on. And you mentioned ESG. So I think this maybe ties in with that. Danfoss introduced its first smart store last fall outside our corporate headquarters in Nordberg, Denmark. And the smart store is a operating grocery store that was developed from the ground up. It's used by the local community as a kind of a more of a smaller format grocery store. But what it also is an application development center. And so it's been designed such that Danfoss can continue to innovate solutions in this space and do that in a real-time environment. But what's interesting is the way it was designed, if we go a little deeper, there is a full thermal loop that has been put underground around the building. Okay. In addition to that, there's CO2 refrigeration systems, which offer it higher pressures, give off a lot of heat. And so it provides the opportunity for heat reclaim systems and even tying that heat into the HVAC system. There's also underground heating loops for keeping the sidewalks and dry, right? A lot of snow in the Denmark area, so that's a welcome feature, a thermal load per se. EV chargers, solar panels, and then they're putting in a thermal storage or battery device as well. And so what we're really trying to do now is look at, hey, how do you optimize all of those systems working together, right? So essentially, you're minimizing any type of waste. And it's not only a one-time event. It's changes by season, right? And it's hotter, it's colder. So all the parameters around these systems change. And so it's a great opportunity, and it's also a great puzzle to solve to optimize that. And again, I think back to our discussion here, connectivity, AI, it's a great opportunity for that type of technology to help us do that and to really get the next level of benefit out of some of our ESG initiatives and goals that we want to achieve around climate.
You brought up a couple, you know, really good points. The whole B2B business, I think you're right, kind of follows the B2C business. And if you can turn on your TV remote or start the washer and dryer from your phone and unlock the front door, then why can't we do all this stuff in our buildings, right? So we're expecting what we can do at home to kind of come into the building. So I think that drives a lot of that connectivity, right, coming into the commercial space. The system optimization, the integration, right, of the different sectors too, that was, I think everybody kind of knew it, right? I mean, you're dumping heat into the air with a condenser, right? I mean, everybody inherently says, well, we should be able to do something with that. But to me, kind of just at home, until you've got the data to know how to do that well and efficiently, right? You can't just plug something in and hope it works. And, you know, then you screw up all kinds of stuff down the line if you go that way. But really having the data enabled us to do a lot of these energy saving things. It wasn't that we didn't know how to pipe systems together, right? I mean, we've been piping stuff together and designing refrigeration circuits forever. It's the data that's enabled a lot more of that stuff that's super interesting, I think. And I think the smart store could probably be a whole podcast episode on its own. There's a lot of innovative, cool stuff going in there. But if we take a step back, if we're looking like in the US, right? I think there's, if I remember, 6 million buildings today in the US roughly, right? And we build a couple percent a year, but retrofit is also a big deal in the US. So if we look at the kind of current landscape, existing buildings, some new construction, are most of the buildings connected today, whether it's new or is there a lot of stuff going on in the retrofit market, and why or why not?
Great question. Let's see if we can frame that up. If we look at large buildings, which again is where a lot of these systems have been applied, it's a bigger scale, it's more complex, so it really justifies itself to be using these technologies. But that's 2% of the buildings in the US, right? And these are some numbers that are readily available out in the industry, but roughly 2% of the buildings are large buildings. And with that, they're only 35% of the total floor space, the total building floor space. So in those cases, that's where we see a lot of building automation, building management systems or BMSs, which then allow you to do that inside or connect into that, right? But if you look at the other 98% of buildings, that's all small and medium-sized buildings, everything from a convenience store, small format grocery, little strip mall. That is all small. That's 98% of the market, and that's 65% of the building floor space. And if you look inside that demographic, that 98%, about maybe 11% or so, plus or minus, have some type of BMS system, some type of building control that's maybe trying to optimize heating, refrigeration, lighting, et cetera. So it's a very small population. And then if you look at how many of those buildings are connected remotely, maybe so I can do something in the cloud or I can interact with a service provider remotely or call center, the numbers are even smaller. I don't have any exact numbers, but it's smaller. And that means the opportunity is even larger.
What do you think the challenge there? I mean, is it a first cost issue? Is it a ROI issue? What's kind of holding things back? And how do you see that journey to get to that connectivity? What does that kind of look like?
I think, as we talked about earlier, just the costs involved, right? And so the cost and the technology. And we see the technology continuing to rapidly evolve. And we see the cost of that coming down. And so that has always been a challenge. And that challenge will continue to get easier and easier to do. That, I think, is number one. The awareness has always been something, and people are starting to, you know, again, I go back to the home examples. I can see the benefit of just my home air conditioning, being able to adjust that. Boy, if I could do that in my commercial office building or my grocery store, right, the benefit I could have. So it's really a combination of aligning the want is there. It's aligning the business case and the technology and some of those technology hurdles in getting there.
Now, do you think some specific components required or some things that you know, building owners, property owners should be considering, whether it's a retrofit or a new build, right? Because I think if we're looking to upgrade a building, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things they can do, right? From, I don't know, insulation and windows and new HVAC and other equipment. You know, but that's all kind of hardware stuff. If you look on the software side, the mechanical guy in me says, well, boy, the digital stuff, that's easy. Just, you know, buy an app, right? So what is it that on the connectivity side that they need to do to kind of, you know, get ROI similar to what they'd get if they, you know, kind of these mechanical kind of solutions?
I think like anything, it all starts with planning. It really starts with planning and asking yourself, what do I want to accomplish? What's the problems I'm trying to solve for? Where's my biggest area to unlock value? And so that may be part of a broader strategy, or maybe that's more of a, you're just getting started, or it's an isolated strategy. So that's, I think, number one, like in anything, then becomes really around the system design. What are you working with today, mechanically, electronically? What do you have today? What's the right system that's going to fit in with that and get you what you need, right? Another important element is the cybersecurity and communication infrastructure. So we see that with customers. Do I have the right electronic piping, let's say? Do I have the right IT infrastructure, the right cybersecurity infrastructure in place? Because connectivity does open you up to some risks. So that's an important element to look at. And then you really get into knowing that I'm going to get all this more data, right? Overwhelming amount of potential data. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to store it? How am I going to share it? And so some thought needs to go into what you want to accomplish there. And that really brings you then into standard operating procedures, right? Once I have this information or this insight, what's going to be our process of what do we do with it? What stakeholders are involved? How do we communicate that? What do certain people need to do when they get that information, right? So we see organizations having to work that whole organizational alignment piece along with just getting the data flowing. And then I think like anything, start small, pilot something, learn from that, recalibrate from that before you definitely try to scale something, because there is, in this space in particular, definitely a lot of learning that comes out of just a small pilot.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So when we look at those potential opportunities, how do you see that rate of adoption these days? And do you really think, is it a lack of knowledge, let's say, and understanding the values, the benefits, or maybe is it some, you know, people being overwhelmed with the task? You know, do you see some resistance to the uptake, or what do you think is keeping things from taking off more than they are now?
I can't provide any specific adoption numbers, at least that I'm aware of. It's definitely increasing, though. It's definitely going up. As I mentioned before, I think everybody understands at a high level. They would like it. It's just, how are we going to get there? And one of those I mentioned a couple times here, I think the biggest one is the ROI, justifying the investment for our customers, and some challenge in how do you develop that? Because there are so many benefit streams that come out of this, right? You unlock so many different benefits. We could talk a little bit about those, but putting that ROI case is difficult sometimes. And so I think, as we talked about, it's getting easier to do that as costs come down, but that becomes one of those challenges or resistance areas. Financial accounting is another one. So what we're seeing also, as you get into this digital space, traditionally, most of our investments or improvement projects have been capital investments, right? A one-time, those get handled differently financially for companies. As you get into digital and connectivity, we start to see some recurring costs, actually more recurring costs, the subscription fees, digital service data costs, right? Recurring costs. These are operating costs. And those get handled differently on the financial books. They get handled differently from a budgeting standpoint. So now you have to coordinate with different stakeholders on who's going to pay for that and how are you going to pay for that. So that's on the financial side. Some of those resistance areas are, we talked about cybersecurity. IT always has a heavy involvement in these projects, and sometimes there's hurdles or investments that need to be done before you even get to that, right? To make sure you have that, the proper IT infrastructure. And then lastly, I would say is coordination of stakeholders. We're seeing that right now. We're trying to help the industry and our customers with that. We deal a lot with OEM manufacturers. And when we talk about connectivity and communication, they're aware of it. They would like it. The question is, my customers aren't pounding the door down. Some of them are asking, but they're not pounding my door down. And I'm not sure what value they're going to get. And what do I charge them, and what are they going to pay for? And so you've got the OEM community right there. You've got the end user community, or the ultimate building owner community, saying, yeah, I'd love this stuff. Where is it at? And then you even have, let's say, service providers, contractors out there, getting all of those stakeholders aligned in how this is going to work, who's paying for what, where are the benefits and values. I think that's an evolving area, and as that evolves and aligns better, that will also help adoption rates as well.
You mentioned a lot of good values that we get out of connected systems. Maybe we focus on one here in particular. So we know buildings are major consumers of energy, right? I think about 40% of energy in the U.S. is consumed in buildings, and then a little less than 40% of that is specifically for HVACR, right? So it's a big, big chunk that's used for HVACR systems in buildings. So how can connectivity specifically help on the energy efficiency side, and what kind of return can people expect from implementing a connected system?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. It's a big driver. It continues to be kind of the big topic, whether you're talking ESG goals, profitability. So I think it'll continue to be. So anything you can do to reduce energy or optimize that is a big payback. If we maybe looked at a couple areas of categories, right? We'll start with number one is what I call visibility, particularly when we talk about multi-site enterprises, right? Owners that have multiple buildings, thousands of buildings, there's a huge benefit. So just having the visibility into these systems, into your refrigeration, HVAC, heating, boiler, water, et cetera, is a tremendous benefit. That allows performance improvement. It allows alarms and exception notification. Again, amongst those multi-site operators is benchmarking. There's a tremendous value in benchmarking. So I know who the best of the best is. I know who the worst of the worst is. Where do I want to focus my time? I want to focus that on the worst area, right? I want to prioritize my resources, my labor, my capital, and really address those areas. And then how do I move everything right to the next level? So benchmarking is a big area. So visibility is huge. That also, like we said, enables more cost or energy efficiency. So if I can remotely diagnose something, if I can reduce a truck roll, right? Getting a service tech or a contractor out on site, one, just to diagnose the problem. Two, now I got to maybe go get the right parts to fix the problem. And three, I got to come back out to check on how my repairs went, right? So there's three truck rolls right there. Those are costly. If I could do that remotely and eliminate a lot of that, or at least optimize it to one visit, there's a tremendous payback there. And then kind of back to this AI topic, being able to pull in advanced technologies. So think about our refrigeration, HVAC, lighting, being able to coordinate that with weather patterns better, right? I've got a home sprinkler that has a controller that does that. If it rained the other day, my irrigation system didn't go on because it said, look, you guys got enough water. So being able to do that on a larger scale, integrate weather pattern, traffic flow, other types of AI technologies, right? Again, allows a bigger payback. We talked about coordination with different systems, like our ESG or smart store example. And then if you even look at the bigger grid, let's look at the electrical grid and moving towards a smart grid per se. There's this huge incentives there, and the utility companies are providing those incentives and will continue to do that through like demand response, automated demand response, because they have to have the ability to interact with all of these loads. And if we're going to do it smarter in the future, a more climate friendly, they have to have the ability, and we have to work together, the loads, the providers, and really working on an optimization level that's grid wide as well. So hard to put numbers. I know you were asking for some numbers. It's going to vary, but when you pull all those different benefit streams together, you can definitely build some nice ROI cases.
So you mentioned, right, owners with hundreds or even thousands of stores and the value of benchmarking and everything. But of course, to get the value from all those stores, right, you don't want to wait and just add this connectivity as you're putting up new stores. We need to do retrofits, right? And that's a big opportunity to bring value to the existing building stock. What kind of issues should property owners and managers consider and think about as they look to retrofit buildings specifically?
As you mentioned, new stores is always a great time to really bring in the latest, right? But the installed base is the larger piece of the pie and where you can really make an impact. And so I think, back to what we discussed about earlier, Vic, is when you go into a retrofit situation, it starts with that planning. It starts with, you know, what could I do? What is my biggest problem? Is this an opportunity to pull that in? And then it's to what degree? What do I prioritize? What's my budget available to address that? But I would definitely encourage that any retrofit opportunity that's happening, you should think about how do I make that connectable? Whether that's part of an isolated initiative just around that particular retrofit technology, or it plays into your broader digital connected strategy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So you touched, I think, a question ago, you know, talking a bit about the grid and the importance of making sure that kind of all that is aligned and capable as well. So, you know, there's a general push towards more and more electrification, getting away from burning fossil fuels. But you're hearing already, right, there's a concern then, what's this electrification, what kind of impact is that going to have on the power grids as we're going more and more with electric solutions? So what role do HVACR connected systems play in supporting the demand side there?
Again, back to some of those numbers we shared, we know it's a big portion, right? It's a big load out there. It's important to grid operators. And so some of those things you're seeing today, we mentioned demand response. That's been around for a while. A lot of that sometimes is relatively manual, where they get a signal manually and somebody dials back some temperature settings in a building. But that program has been out there. What's really growing today is what's called automated demand response, or ADR. It's something we work with some of our customers on. And that's really being able to now do that demand response all automated, machine to machine. So what does that mean? Well, one, that what that allows you to do is have a faster response time, right? So now we're not only helping these utilities with a planned response days ahead, but we're helping them as low as a 10-minute response time, okay? You can't respond in 10 minutes with human manual interaction. So ADR, as that continues to develop and roll out across the U.S., utility companies are providing big incentives out there because they need to drive that behavior. Those incentives help you justify some of these upgrades or retrofits, and really can help building operators. So that's a big area that's factoring into that smart grid concept, right? And then again, as we mentioned, just the connectivity is providing the enabler to allow us to use more cloud solutions, more cloud processing for predictive things, and really applying AI. It's a whole opportunity on how we do that. But if you don't have a stable system, stable communication, protected communication, and some structure around your data, you can't do any of the fun stuff, let's say the advanced stuff.
Right. And yeah, so you touched on their secure connection, and I think you touched a few questions there back on cybersecurity. And we know there's more and more concerns these days about cybersecurity and breaches and data and so on with any kind of connected system. So how can HVACR connectivity solutions help address those concerns? What are we doing to make sure that our systems stay safe?
Yeah, that's a big one. It's a big topic. We read it every day. You know, small companies and the big companies are having these security breaches. And that is one of those adopter factors or resistance areas that's out there when we talk about this topic. The first level really, again, is having that right IT strategy around the building, your network strategy, and making sure you've got all the right practices. I'm by no means an expert in that area, but the IT guys are. And so I think that's number one, whether you're a small building owner operator or a multi-site operator. And then level two, I think, becomes the hardware itself. And we've seen that even with, you know, customer sets where you still had somebody penetrate the building firewall. And once they're in, now they've, you know, got a smorgasbord because of a lot of this electronic controls are still pretty old designs, older technologies. And I know Danfoss, we've invested a lot in some of our newer products and continue to do that to build really stronger cybersecure type controllers and access into that. And that's going to be critical in the industry. Not everybody's pounding the table yet for that, as we talk to OEMs, but we know it's coming and we know it has to happen. So that second level is smarter, more cybersecure hardware, controller hardware, right? And then that third area is what I would call the security practices. So let's talk about passwords. Where there is controls and connectivity out there, we know in our industry, oftentimes there's one password or PIN number that's used across the board, right? The contractors know it. You punch in 1234 or smiley day and you can get into any system you want. It's not going to work going forward. So from a customer perspective, you know, password management, access to what users are getting on your system, you know, single sign-on is a technology that's helping with that. But there's another interesting piece of that we see as an OEM manufacturer, and that's software upgrades. Again, we take it for granted. You got your smartphone, you get those software upgrades, you know, once a week or something. It's pretty automated. It doesn't, you know, really affect you. But in the HVACR industry, it's not automated, right? There's maybe pockets, but as a whole, it doesn't happen. So what does that mean? That means that I've got multiple units out there that are operating on older versions of software, right? So it doesn't have the bug fixes, improvements, but more importantly, it doesn't have those cybersecurity upgrades. So there's vulnerabilities out of there. And by having connected hardware, that allows us to do remote software upgrades, regular software, validate that we have the right software in your controllers, much like we see with our smartphones today. So that's another way that we're really trying to address the cybersecurity threat out there.
Okay. Well, sounds like I have about 600 passwords I need to go home and change now. So well, thanks for the reminder.
At least 600 different ones I'd recommend.
Well, my one that I now need to make 600 different, I guess, right? But interesting that hardware plays a role too. I guess I never really thought so much about that. You just think everything's all on the software side. But yeah, it makes, you know, obvious sense that, right, of course, the hardware plays a big role as well. So we've been talking a lot about the adoption of the technology connected systems. As we pick up the adoption rate, right, somebody's going to have to install those systems, right? And I think it'll take more than, you know, a wrench and a torch that we're used to putting in HVAC systems with, right? So what kind of contractor training and support is going to be needed to enable to have a more widespread adoption of connectivity? Do we see that as a hurdle, or how do you see that?
Yeah, another critical topic in the industry, I think, is how do we enable the contractor base out there around this? And maybe a couple things that come to mind. One is back to the ROI discussion, because oftentimes a contractor is there with a customer, right? Or they may be the only person there working with a customer. So back to this whole adoption rate discussion, how do you better equip contractors to share the value and share the ROI with their customers? So I think there's some things we can do there to help the contractor base do that better. So that's one area. The bigger area, though, comes to, you know, servicing, fixing, configuring, et cetera. And because as the industry is moving to more open standards, we're still a lot on proprietary standards. So every manufacturer tends to do it their way, right? And so by helping our contractors with immediate availability to information, what I mean by that, YouTube videos, online documents, FAQs, right, tutorials, online learning, any of those tools that can easily equip contractors. We know they're very busy. So not only in advance, but when they're in the field and I'm in the midst of a fire, can I jump online? Can I look up your information and figure out how to configure, troubleshoot, or address this? That's equally important. That's something we can do from a manufacturer support standpoint, I think is equally important. And thirdly is the mindset, which I think we're all getting there. I always fall back to my mom saying, Michael, can you teach me how to use the internet? I really need some more lessons on how to use the internet. And I'm like, Mom, I can't. There's no way to learn the internet. Is it a continuous learning journey? And I have to do it every day too, right? So it is the mindset that we're into when we get into this world of continuously learning as well.
Yeah, I had a bit different with my dad. I remember he called and said his computer stopped working. He couldn't figure out why. And it was because he couldn't understand the file structure. So he alphabetized all of his files on his computer and then wonder why it stopped. So, yeah, we all have, I think those kinds of stories. You brought up a really good point. I was at a conference earlier this week, actually, with the Department of Energy and kind of talking about the future of HVAC. But we had some end users panel talking about what they're looking for, and common tools, common practices, common procedures was like, across the board, something that they were all right super interested in and making sure, because that they were running into those same issues. Their technicians had to learn, you know, 10 different languages depending on the system in the building, right? The components and all that kind of stuff. So that's, I think, something super interesting. And I hadn't really thought about it until it was brought up by those end users. And now here we kind of have the topic coming up again. So we've kind of talked about then the benefits, right? How we need to maybe move this forward even more, support the growth going forward. Do you have maybe other than the smart store that we kind of talked about, a specific example or case maybe that you want to talk about that, you know, was kind of a shining star on how connectivity helped bring some value to the end users?
Oh, yeah. That's tough because, as I mentioned, there's so many ways that you can benefit. And the benefit amount of each of those really depends on the situation, right? So what I can try to do is pull a lot of those together and maybe bucket them in where they've seen some benefits, right, amongst different customers that we've worked with. So first of all, we talked about just that basic level of visibility, alarms, enterprise data. If I'm a multi-site operator, just really being able to have that information, even reporting. Reporting is a, you know, with this talk, a simple PDF report, the amount of labor and time it takes for people to generate these reports internally, again, particularly for a multi-site customer, there's a lot of time there. So just that basic connectivity value offers some benefit. We mentioned benchmarking, again, really allowing these multi-site operators to say, here's, you know, I didn't realize that. You know, we have a common one that comes up is somebody comes back and says, somebody changed the set point. I don't know who changed the set point. I don't know when that happened, but somebody changed the set point, and that's why we've been operating inefficiently, or I froze my food, or whatever. So being able to have the visibility to realize that something is not where it should be, you know, and that benchmarking ability is tremendous. we talked about being an enabler for these other technologies, right? Predictive technologies, AI technology. So that data that we gather and having it there in a cloud type format is just an enabler to get that benefit stream, which is still evolving, right? Very early stages of involvement. We also have some customers that use geolocation information. So there are mobile, right, HVAC refrigeration systems out there. And so these connectivity systems also provide, if you're using a mobile type connectivity, mobile or geolocation information. So it's amazing how many HVR assets are lost, stolen, didn't know they were, end up in a riverbed or sitting in a warehouse somewhere. So for mobile assets, that geolocation information is tremendously valuable. We talked about reduced maintenance costs, remote diagnostics, eliminating truck rolls, right? A lot of savings opportunity there. And then that leads to energy performance, energy savings, performance optimization, increased asset life, right? The better we maintain these systems, we can increase the asset life and get more usage out of that as well. And then probably the last one, again, back to the smart store concept, district energy, different buzzwords out there, is really being able to integrate these different technologies together, right? And same thing comes when we talk about heat pumps, right? Another hot topic in the industry is heat pumps. Well, heat pumps operate differently depending on your ambient condition, depending on time of the year. So now I have to maybe coordinate that with auxiliary systems that are compensating for that, right? And so the ability to work multiple different systems together is an untapped area, and it will only be able to get there with connectivity and cloud data and computing technology. So I know I didn't give you an exact example, but there's multiple ways that you can make sure you have the ROI that you need.
Fantastic. Great. Thanks, Michael. So that's it for this episode of Envisioneering Exchange. I'd like to thank my guest, Michael Kellerman from Danfoss, for joining us.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to Envisioneering Exchange on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Captivate, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Lastly, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with your network. Thanks for listening, and talk to you all next time.
This podcast is for information purposes only. The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Envisioneering Exchange podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and not necessarily represent those of Danfoss LLC and its employees. Danfoss LLC is not responsible and does not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in the podcast series available for listening on this site. This podcast series does not constitute professional advice or services. This podcast, including Danfoss LLC and the producers, disclaim responsibility from any possible adverse effects of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and Danfoss LLC in this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility of statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about the guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. The developers of the Envisioneering Exchange podcast site assume no liability for any activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast in connection with any other website, computer, or playing device.